Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
Amen. So I know you're going to be sad about this, but today is the last Sunday of our Blockbuster Summer Series. I need a little bit more than that. Like, I need you to really be sad about this. Like I want you to be like, oh, like, man, like, this was so much fun type of sad, okay? So I'm going to say it again. So I got some bad news. This Sunday is the last Sunday of our Blockbuster Summer Series. Thank you. I don't know. That was fabricated, so I don't know if I take it. But it sounded good. But the good news is that we're closing out with one of my favorite Marvel movies. The underrated. The... Yes! Ant-Man! Thank you. How'd you know?
He's underrated.
But one of my favorites, Mr. Ant-Man. So without further ado, I will give you the trailer. The underrated, underappreciated, undervalued Ant-Man. I love me some Ant-Man. I didn't expect to. I didn't go to the movies. I did not spend $10, $11, $12, $14, $16 at Atlantic Station on Ant-Man, I must confess. I saw it on Netflix, I guess. I may have waited till it came out on cable. I don't even know. But when I did see it, I loved it. And you know, I love the cinematography. Seeing the world from an ant's perspective. See my old heads. Anybody remember that movie, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids? Man, that was something. That's what I'm talking about. Man, it was something about that. So it was fun. It was fun to watch. He's the underdog. He's not the prince. He's not a genius. He's not a spy. Right? Everybody. All the Avengers, like Thor. You know what I mean? Like Tony Stark. He's basically a prince. You know what I mean? Like everybody. Like Black Widow. Like this incredible crime-fighting spy. I mean, you know, she was a bad spy. Now she's a good spy. I mean, everybody's amazing. Except for Ant-Man. I can relate to Ant-Man. They describe him in the movie as a martyr who took on the system and paid the price, losing his family in the process. He basically took down a billion-dollar company and gave away all the money to people, and he went to jail for it. In a modern-day Robin Hood. But I really love Ant-Man because of the crew that he rolls with. I love my boy Michael Peña. He's like the closest thing to a Latino superhero we got, man. He's like the best leading support actor in all of the Marvel comics, Marvel movies, I believe. You know, Michael Peña. You know, and my boy Clifford Joseph Harris Jr. The King of the South. The Godfather, the founder of trap music. Whoa. From right here where we stand, right here he walked these streets of West Side Zone 1, Bankhead, T.I.P. We don't got no fans in the house? Okay, come on now. Rubber band man. Wild as a Taliban man, you know, I wasn't always a Christian. Where my boy Rashad at? Boy, I know he knows all the lyrics of that. And then you have that weird Russian dude like on the side somewhere. I don't know. Who is that Russian dude? Like the weird guy on the laptop, right? He's the techie. We love techies too. It's okay. Derek, we love you. We love the techies, yes. But Scott is going through a hard time. He's struggling. He got out of jail. He can't see his daughter. He tried to work at Baskin Robbins. They found out about his record. The manager pulled him in, said he was so, like, he was, like, geeked about how cool he was, and then he fired him, told him he can get a smoothie on the way out. He can't see his family. I mean, it's just tough, you know? And he goes to his daughter's birthday party and finds out, you know, that his ex-wife is now engaged to a, out of all people, a police officer. Now, that's just wrong, right? Having to come to your child's birthday party and the police officer is there. And you're an ex-con. It's just not right. Things are not going good for my boy, Scott. But through all of it, there's still one person that believes in him. His daughter, Cassie. I have two daughters. I'm a sucker for daddy-daughter stuff. Man. I'm like, man, this is... His daughter, Cassie, still thinks he is amazing. He's a hero. And, you know, I don't know if you know this, but I did a little research. And, you know, Cassie may be a superhero herself. Yeah, Avengers 4. Ant Girl. I won't charge you for that one. But if you want to drop a couple bucks in the extra dollars in the basket, you know, you can, you know, just for a little just for that little nugget right there. Cassie's mom says to Scott, says, "You're her hero, Scott," after he gets thrown out of the party. "You're her hero, Scott. Just be the person she already thinks you are." Easier said than done, right? I mean, that's a lot of pressure right there. You know, I get to think, man, you know, what does it take to be a superhero for your daughter? Well, the ex-wife is like, "Hey, I just need you to get a job, get an apartment, and start paying child support." We can start there. That would be heroic for Brother Scott. And a lot of men out here in this community, in our communities, in our families. That's a good place to start. Get your job, get you an apartment, and if you got any kids, pay your child support. That's free too. All right. So he gets overwhelmed. He decides to take a shortcut. His boy had a job for them to do. Make some quick money, but little did he know he was getting set up. Professor Hank Pym, who created the Pym Particle and the Ant-Man suit, right? He had been watching him. He was looking for somebody to wear this suit, and so Scott goes in with his team. He breaks into the safe, and he finds nothing in the safe except for the suit. So he takes the suit home. He tries it on, and he goes on the ride of his life. He goes through, you know, he starts in a bathtub, goes through a party. All lands on a car and becomes big again. He says, "No, I'm not doing this." So he goes, and he says, "I'm going to take this thing back to this mansion and put it back in the safe." So he does that. And that's when he gets caught. He doesn't get caught stealing anything. He gets caught trying to put it back. And Hank's daughter, Hope, did that to him, by the way. So Hank comes in and says he's his lawyer. He meets him in jail. And he tells Scott, he says this. He says, "Second chances don't come around all that much. So I suggest the next time you see one, take a real close look at it." And, you know, this whole story really of how Hank is recruiting Scott reminds me of us and God. We're out there in the world. We're doing our thing. We're trying to make it. We're trying to survive. We're trying to make the most of it. And God's just watching. And he's gonna do whatever it takes to get us to a place where we need him and where we need a second chance. And the beautiful thing about God is that he sees us for who we can become. Hank didn't see Scott as just a burglar, right? I mean, he saw him for who he can become, a superhero, who his daughter already saw him as. And so this whole time, Hank and Hope, they know their time is short because the villain is, he's being diligent about creating his own suit that he intends to use for evil. So time is running out for them. So they got to get Scott trained really quickly and get ready to go so he can save the world. So the ants, they're in the jail cell. The ants bring him the suit. They start counting down 10, 9, 8. He puts it on. He breaks out of jail, passes out, wakes up at Hank's house, and Hank shares his conviction on the concept of redemption. Redemption. He says, "Scott, I believe everyone deserves a shot at redemption. If you can help me, I promise I can help you be with your daughter again. Now, are you ready to redeem yourself?" Scott says, "Absolutely." You saw it in the trailer. "My days of breaking into places and stealing stuff are done. So what do you want me to do?" Break into a place and steal some stuff. But in that one conversation lies the two themes that I want to focus on from this movie. The first is this idea of redemption. Say it with me, redemption. Redemption, yes. You know, when we get baptized, we have baptisms up here, and we sing that song, "I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb." I'm singing like it. Come on now. Ghost, I am. "All my sins are washed away. I've been redeemed." I've always wanted to do that. But what does that song and what does that word actually mean? This is defined as the action of saving or being saved from sin. That is the definition in dictionary. Error or evil. Also means the action of regaining or gaining possession of something in exchange for payment or clearing a debt. So in the same way Hank is offering Scott redemption, we know that God offers us eternal redemption. Amen? We all sin, but God saves us from sin, and he regains possession of his beloved creation, of me and you. He says, "I know you're out in the world. I know you're out living for Satan. I know you're living in sin, but I want you back. And so I'm willing to pay the price." And it was something extremely valuable for our Father in heaven, his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who was sacrificed for our redemption. So we're going to look at the scriptures at someone who was urgent in his search for redemption. His name is Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus. And I hope that by the end of this message, we will have a conviction to imitate not only his heart, but also the heart of Jesus. So let's look at Luke chapter 19. We're going to read verse 1 through 10. Luke chapter 19, verse 1 through 10. It's right up here on your screen. Please write down your notes. Take notes. Go back and study it out. Hopefully this will help us throughout the week. It says that Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and he said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." That's pretty awesome. Can you imagine lending somebody money or somebody stealing some from you and they give you back four times the amount? I'd be pretty happy about that. Verse 9, Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Who was Zacchaeus? He was a short man. I don't know why they put, you know, it's like, man, come on. Hey, man, it's part of the story. But he was a short man, but very rich. He was a chief tax collector. This is the first time that title is, and the only time it's thrown out in the Bible, it's shown in the Bible. So he's the chief of all tax collectors over a department. We know he got money. We know that tax collectors were not liked at all in that community because he was Jewish, but basically he was stealing money and taking extra money from the taxes from his own people. So he was working for the Roman government and taxing the his friends and family, his community, the people he grew up with in the synagogue, and taking more money from them than he ought to so that he can fatten his pockets. So he was not liked at all. But there's some good things that we see in Zacchaeus as well. And number one, we see his urgency, So that's my first point for today is urgent for redemption. Urgent for redemption. Zacchaeus makes an urgent effort to see Jesus. He hears that he's coming through the town, and so he runs ahead and he climbs this tree. I love that because for me, it feels like he planned for it, right? Like he could have sat there with the crowd. He could have just fought his way through the crowd, but he runs ahead of the crowd. He leaves the crowd. He says, I got to have a plan. I got to go get to this tree. So by the time he comes by, I can see him. He was searching for Jesus. He planned to have an encounter with Jesus, to be able to see Jesus. He was preparing himself to do that in the same way that we kind of prepare ourselves on Sunday mornings, right? Man, hopefully we come wanting to have an encounter with God, an encounter with Jesus, an encounter with the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to make sure that we get up early and we get there on time and we get our hearts ready. We have a quiet time. Why? Because, man, I'm going to prepare myself. I'm going to be diligent about this, right? Because we prepare for many things that are important to us. All right, if you're going for that job interview and you've been trying to get that job, I hope you're going to prepare for that. I hope you're going to do a little research on the company, right? A little research on the people that are hiring you or that are going to be interviewing you, right? Whether you're going to go to school, whether you're trying out for a team, like whatever's important for us, we're going to prepare for that. And Zacchaeus prepared himself and was urgent. He runs ahead and he climbs this tree because he says, this cannot wait. This is my shot. This is my opportunity. And so this cannot wait. I got to make sure that I see Jesus. Do we have that same heart about having an encounter with Jesus? And maybe it's because of what we see back in Luke chapter 3. This gospel starts off with John the Baptist baptizing people. And some of the people that come to get baptized are who? The tax collectors. And so maybe somehow, some way, he heard about the tax collectors that had gone out and gotten baptized and gotten a second chance at life. And what did John tell them when they asked, what should we do, John? He said, don't collect any more than you are required to. That was their repentance. That was what God was calling them to do in order to be right with him in the situation they were in. But let's look at some words that we see in this passage. Number one, we saw that he ran ahead, right? What else do we see? We see that Jesus also is urgent about Zacchaeus' redemption, right? Because he tells him to come down when? Immediately. He says, come down immediately. I must stay at your house when? Today. So Zacchaeus comes down at once. At once he comes down and he welcomes him gladly. He welcomed Jesus gladly, joyfully. And then when people start talking about him, he says, no, Jesus, hold up. I'm ready for this. Here and now, at this moment, I don't need to go back and check my finances. I don't need to go back and get some advice. I don't need to talk to my financial advisor. No, mama, daddy, no. Here and now. Right now, I'm going to give half of my possessions to the poor, and then all the people that I cheated, I'm going to give them back four times that amount. And what was Jesus' response? Today, salvation has come to this house. You know, I want to ask you the same question that Hank asked Scott. Are you ready to be redeemed? Are you ready to be redeemed? Are you ready to be saved from your sin? Are you ready for your second chance? Remember what Hank said, second chances, they don't come around all that much. I suggest the next time you see one, you take a real close look at it. It is so easy sometimes to miss our chance at a second chance. It is It is so easy sometimes to miss that moment, to go back to business as usual. And unfortunately, so many times, business as usual means going back to the world. It means going back to sin, because sooner or later, we go back to our old ways. And what do I mean? I mean, you're searching for God. You prepare yourself. You come to church. You hear a message, but you don't do nothing about it. You get in some Bible studies. People start helping you grow in your relationship with God. You start working on your on building your faith, because you know, man, life isn't where I want it to be. I've made some bad decisions. There's some guilt. There's some shame. And you start reading the scriptures. And it's like, man, this is really good. I really need to repent. I really need to cut off that relationship. You know what? I need to be honest about that. Man, you know what? I need to give back this, or I need to, do this to make sure I'm right, because the way I'm living, just, I'm not happy. And we close the Bible, we pray, and nothing happens. And if we miss that moment, God is so gracious. Hopefully, God willing, there's another moment. Because what I've learned is that life can be a whirlwind. And I know there's just these moments of clarity where we see that I need to get right with God. And there's other times where you're not even thinking about it. You're just going to work, you're going, you're partying, you're doing that, you're smoking, you're drinking, you're doing what you need to do, you're going after your career, you're going after your degree, you ain't thinking about God, you're going, it's just life as usual. But then there's these moments where it's like God wakes you up. If we don't take advantage of those moments, the next time around, if we get another opportunity at a second chance, there's so much more junk we got to repent of. Why? Because we never took care of it when we had the chance. It doesn't get better if we don't receive Jesus and welcome him gladly. It doesn't get better. You think that conversation that you got to have is hard now? Wait 5 years when you're having... It's the issues are still there. They've grown. They've gotten worse. You've hurt each other even more. You've lied even more. And now you got 5 more years of issues and drama. You think it's hard to cut off that relationship now? What about when you have a baby together and you're not married, right? And you got to pay child support, right? You think it's hard to come clean now about what you've done or what you said or your lies? Think about 5 years from now and all the damage that is caused along the way. Are you ready to be redeemed? This is your moment. Don't wait any longer. Stop making excuses. This is the best moment of your life. The best moment of your life awaits you. Making Jesus Lord, getting baptized for the forgiveness of your sin, getting God himself living inside of us, the Holy Spirit living inside of us, is the best moment of our lives. Nothing compares. The moment that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit and we know we're going to heaven, all of our sins forgiven. Y'all remember when y'all came out that water? Boy, that day, man, I remember. Just happy. Just walking on cloud nine. And then, you know, it's that moment where you don't sin for a while. You know, like maybe a day or two. You know, maybe because you're really pumped up. It's just that moment you feel the cleanest, the purest you've ever felt. Right? And it's like, man, everybody's excited. There's so much joy. You have a little baptism party. This is amazing. You never forget it. The moment you crossed over from the darkness to the light. Now I ask our disciples, stop making excuses for people. Jesus did not make an excuse for Zacchaeus. He wasn't like, Zacchaeus, you know what? I know you're busy. I know the sin you've been into. I don't know if it's going to make people happy, me hanging out with you. You know what? Why don't you take a week or so? You know, Zacchaeus, come. Zacchaeus, hey, Zacchaeus, take down my number. Text me, Z. I hit you back. Hit me on the IG. We'll set something up. Let's talk later so we can plan a time where we can get into the scriptures and you can repent. I know how busy you are. I know you got a career that demands a lot of you. I know you're in school and you're playing sports and you're doing all this stuff. You know what, Zacchaeus? Just come down a little later, and when everybody leaves, we'll talk. Jesus is like, listen, let's go for it. Come on, right now, today, this is your moment. Why? Listen, our level of urgency reflects our convictions. Our convictions on heaven and hell. Our conviction on the power of God to literally raise the dead, to save people out of their sin. Our conviction on the hope that we have in the Word of God. Sometimes we think like we're the only people that ever want to repent. What if somebody had that attitude with us? They said, you know what? She ain't open. I know what she's into. I've seen her on social media. And yet we have that same attitude when it comes to our family and friends. Sometimes I ask people, like, have you invited so-and-so? Let me tell you why. They'll give me 3 or 4 reasons why they're not open. Man, really? God can't save them? I guess we were just so good that he could save us. God, we got to be urgent. I think it's because Jesus' urgency, his urgency, that it called Zacchaeus to be urgent. He saw that Jesus wasn't playing. He saw this was his opportunity. You know, this past week, there was a shooting at Clark Atlanta. There's a block party out there by the promenade on campus. Somebody started shooting a crowd, shot 4 students. 2 of those students went to Spelman. Our sister Mari's an RA. They were her residents. One day, you can be out, just got to campus, starting a new year, a new phase in life, a new adventure, and all of a sudden, people getting shot? We had a football game, first game of the season, a rival game, North Clayton versus Riverdale. Stands were packed. First game, you know, everybody's excited about the first game. We're out there, then right near halftime, I'm looking across the stadium, and I'm seeing a whole group of people just running. I'm like, man, what is going on? I thought they were fighting, something happened, okay. Then all of a sudden, like a few minutes later, people start running onto the field, panic, chaos. We take the football players, we get down on the floor, we're telling people to get down. People are running, people are jumping the fence, all kinds of chaos, craziness. I'm just waiting for somebody to come on to the field because it's so much that we've heard about crazy people just shooting people up. This just happened at Clark. I'm like, man, what is going on? Finally, we all run into the locker room. We get all the family and friends into the locker room with the football players. Cops come out there. When I seen them with the big boys, I'm like, this thing is serious. There's girls having panic attacks, crying. I'm like, God, what kind of world are we living in? And even at a football game, it's not a safe space. High school kids, teenagers. And you know, the saddest part for some of us is normal. I mean, it's not like I've been there before. I've done it before. I'm like, I told my wife, she was shocked. I'm like, ew. I was worried about my boys. My boys were there trying to get them in the locker room. Tomorrow's not promised. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 11. I've been meditating on this scripture, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 11, and verse 19 and 20. Go back and read this chapter on your own, but it says this: now that what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. This is God talking. What I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice and hold fast to him. Cling to him. Cling to him. That's the theme for our women's retreat. Hold fast to him. Choose life. This is your opportunity. This is your chance at redemption. Be urgent for redemption, so that you can be repurposed for good. And that's my second point, repurposed for good. Repurposed for good. It's one thing to be redeemed, but along with that comes a mission. A mission to do the good we ought to do and become who God wants us to be. Amen? I looked up some repurposing projects. And for some reason, you know, repurpose is when you take something that is old, that really isn't serving its purpose anymore, that's worn down, and you repurpose it. You do something with it. And for some reason, suitcases are very popular to be repurposed. So on top, you have a medicine cabinet out of a suitcase. On the left, you have a boombox out of a suitcase. And then that's a chair out of a suitcase. And so they took these suitcases. They said, man, we can't use them. They're cool, but we can't use them for what we need to use them. But how can we get some value out of this? That's what it means to repurpose something. And so God does the same thing for us. We may have been worn down by the world. We may have been beat up by the world. We may have been being used for things we should not have been used for. And yet God says, you know what? I can still find some use in that. Give me that old suitcase. Let's see how we can bring it to life. Let's see how we can use it to bring joy to people, bring hope to people. And so now, when God repurposes us for good, now we're using our powers for good. All of our gifts, our talents, our ability, we're all using all of that for good. And that's why I like that point when Hank tells him, he says, listen, I'm done stealing and robbing. And he says, no, I want you to do that for good. Now, I don't want you stealing, robbing, do all that stuff. But I'm just saying, he's thinking, man, all the stuff I'm good at, I'm not going to do that no more. He's like, no, this is actually what's going to help you save the world. And all of us, I think about Zacchaeus. When you look at him, to be in the place where he was, he had to be ambitious. We see that he was a leader, right? Because he was over a department. He ran ahead of the crowd. He was bold. You got to be bold to go ask for money that ain't yours. You got to have some swag about yourself. Like, that's G status. Like, it's basically robbing people. He was bold. He was diligent. He was diligent about what he was doing. That's the only... He was resourceful. He was wealthy. And he used all that for evil. And then now we see that he starts using that stuff for good. And that stuff is actually the stuff that helped him to find redemption and find his true purpose. And so the fact that he was ambitious made him ambitious about searching for Jesus. The fact that he was a leader made him go out in front of the crowd when he went searching for Jesus. The fact that he was bold made him say, you know what, here and now, I'm gonna give out everything I gotta give back. The fact that he was diligent helped him to repent and make sure it happened. The fact that he was resourceful said, come to my house. Yeah, I got, and I'm wealthy, come on over. I'm gonna use what I have now to feed Jesus and his disciples. Many of us have accomplished things that require things like perseverance, character, things that like leadership. We've accomplished things that require ambition to get to where we are. I mean, something as simple as graduating high school takes an incredible amount of perseverance. There's things in us, there's powers that God gives us that we have, and yet Satan so many times has hijacked them for his use. And when we're calling you to become a disciple, we're not calling you to leave all those things behind and become a good choir boy and just be a nice guy or a nice, polite lady. God is calling you. I've given you those things. You used them for evil. Now you got to use them for good. And woe to you if you do anything less. Woe to you if you take all that stuff and then you put them and you bury them and say, I gave Satan all this stuff. And I recruited stuff for Satan, and I invested in hell, and I led people to hell. But, man, I'm not going to be that passionate about leading people to Jesus. Come on now. And if you think I'm playing, what's the very next parable in this chapter? The 10 talents. The parable, the talent is right after this, where he gives people talents, and he expects them to use them for good. We got to use everything at our disposal to bring glory to God. Jesus at the end says, today salvation has come to this house. To this house. He didn't say to Zacchaeus. He says to this house. You know, this word house in the Greek is used for more than just a physical dwelling place, but it can also mean the household, his family, his extended family, people either literally related or figuratively related, like his play cousin. All those people we call family ain't really our family. That term house means your network. That means your who you hang around with, your connections. It can also refer to his descendants. Not just the family and friends right now, but the people that are to come. You know, in the movie, Hank also says, this is your chance to earn that look in your daughter's eyes, to become that hero she already thinks you are. It's not about saving our world, he says. It's about saving theirs. Scott, I need you to be the Ant-Man. And so for us, we got to have that same mindset. And it's not just about saving our world. It's about saving theirs. The decisions we make, the urgency we have in our redemption is not just for us, but it's about giving our younger siblings a chance to make it. It's a chance for them to see us and be like, man, if my big brother and big sister can really make this change, maybe I can too. It's an opportunity for our future children, our future nieces and nephews, our children's children, to get an opportunity to say, no, there is another way. It's not just Satan's way. It doesn't have to be all dysfunction. It doesn't have to be all crazy. No, you know what, Uncle So-and-so, I know he goes to church. Man, I know he's a Christian. He's a real Christian. Man, cousin so-and-so, I need her right now. Because I see how she lives her life. It's not just about us. It's about the next generation. And that's what it says in that scripture in Deuteronomy 30. I don't know if you caught it. Now choose life so that you and your children may live. Your offspring. Everybody, our spiritual offspring. Everybody that will come to this church, that will connect with us. It's for them. Our biggest problem, if we're disciples, our biggest problem is taken care of. We're living our lives to do what? To seek and save the lost. Jesus says, this is why I have come, to seek and save the lost. So being repurposed for good isn't just about us. It's about saving our world. It's about saving theirs, our family, and our future spiritual family. You know, as we close out, I want us all to remember this. You can be redeemed and you can be repurposed for good if you will receive Jesus. You can be redeemed and be repurposed for good if you will receive Jesus. See, Zacchaeus received him. He welcomed him what? Gladly, joyfully. So receive Jesus like Zacchaeus did. Receive Jesus by seeking after him and making a real effort. Receive Jesus by humbling yourself. Receive Jesus no matter how sinful you are or how hated you are. Receive Jesus. Receive Jesus as he invites you by name. He knows your name. He knows who you are. He knows what you've been through. He's been recruiting you. He's got plans for you. So receive Jesus without delay. Receive Jesus himself, not religion, not a denomination or the concept of Christianity. Receive Jesus. He's the author and the perfecter of our faith. Amen. Receive Jesus into your life, into your home. Receive Jesus gladly and joyfully. Receive Jesus despite what others say, despite the opposition, despite the persecution. Receive Jesus and receive redemption. Receive Jesus and be repurposed for good. And the church said, amen. Amen. Let's go ahead and pray for our communion. Dear Lord, we humble ourselves before you, knowing that we don't deserve any of your blessings. We don't deserve an opportunity to know you or to be able to receive Jesus. Forgive us of our sin. We fall short every day, whether it be in so-called small ways or in big ways, little sins or big sins. We know that it's sin that separates us from you. And we thank you that you want to redeem us, that you're willing, that you did, you were willing to pay the ultimate price to allow your son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us. And we celebrate that right now. As we eat this cracker that represents the body, the broken body of Jesus, the juice that represents the blood of Jesus that forgives us of our sin, that washes us clean. God, we receive that right now. And we're grateful. And we pray that you will inspire us to make the changes we got to make, the repentance that we got to show. Father, please help us. It's not easy. Some of us are in a mess. Some of us have made decisions that have hurt us, hurt other people. We've been used for evil. God, our reputation is one of evil. Our reputation is one of dysfunction, of hatred, of broken relationships and broken dreams, God. But we know that you don't see us that way. You see us for who we can become, who you created us to be. So repurpose us for your purpose, for good. We love you. We celebrate you. We're grateful for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.